Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk. On-demand audio.
It was stated pretty strongly a couple of weeks ago about Canada, and people laughed. And now they're all saying, well, it's very interesting. And I say from the standpoint of the United States, we're subsidizing Canada $200 and $250 billion a year. We have massive deficits. They've taken about 20% of our car business. I'd rather do it here. We could put tariffs on. We don't have tariffs on them yet, but that will happen.
Yeah, that's part of President-elect Trump's news conference yesterday. He was talking about Canada. He was talking about this. And he was eventually asked about, I think maybe you put it out on Truth Social, reaction to the Supreme Court deciding not to get involved in stopping sentencing today in this case in New York. And, he's like, well, you know, they wanted to go through the appeals process. Then they made some comments in there about that, and I'm okay with it. I was just shocked at who all was involved in the decision. Let's get to Gerard Lafitte. Felitti, nice of him to join us this morning. Political strategist with the Lawfare Project, and he's senior counsel there as well. Gerard, thanks for giving me some time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what this Supreme Court decision was yesterday and what it wasn't.
Well, what the Supreme Court decision was basically saying, we're not going to get involved now, let the appeal play out, and then who knows, we might get to it at some point. But that it's a correct decision. Donald Trump still has the whole appeal process to play out in the state of New York, and then he can ask the Supreme Court to look into it again.
So obviously, a number of judges, four of them, disagreed with this decision. What was their argument as to why the court should have stepped in and either delayed or stopped this sentencing?
Well, first of all, the order itself is one paragraph with three sentences, and there's no dissent, so there's no explanation on why they would grant the application. But the usual suspects, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, were the ones who would have granted the application. And I think they see this as an issue of, if you are asserting some privilege or immunity from a lawsuit, it should never get to sentencing. That needs to be resolved first. So I think they would have decided that the presidential immunity arguments needed to be heard before you got to sentencing.
Isn't it true that ultimately in our system, you're not considered convicted until sentencing? Is that correct? Even if the sentence today is a slap on the wrist, at that point, he's officially considered convicted, correct?
Correct. Up until 9:30, well, it is 9:30 now, up until whenever this hearing starts and the conviction is entered, Donald Trump has not yet become a convicted felon. So that is an important distinction. People were trying to say that he was a convicted felon, not yet. That's what happens today. And this is in part what makes it a little bit political. Judge Merchan came up with the sentencing date on his own. The DA, Alvin Bragg, was not pressing for it. No one was pushing for sentencing. Everyone seemed to be on board with just letting it linger until after Trump was and exited office in 4 years. But the judge wanted to have the last word, and he wanted to make sure that the conviction was entered. That's why we have this going on today.
Yeah, we're watching the feed right now. Fox News is showing what looks like outside the courtroom. And obviously, Trump is attending virtually today. But it will be interesting what is determined to be the sentencing here, because we're not expecting jail time. But even if it's some astronomical fine that they're telling Trump he has to pay, ultimately, this could end up back at the Supreme Court, right? Because Donald Trump has already said he'll appeal and he could take it up all the way, right?
Absolutely. We don't expect there to be any fine, actually, because when we're talking about an unconditional discharge, which is what Judge Merchan was signaling, that means no jail time, no fine, no probation, no conditions. It's basically, we found you guilty and we don't care enough to impose a sentence on you. Again, it's political. But this will absolutely be appealed. It'll work its way through New York, through two different court layers in New York, if he does not prevail, and then to the U.S. Supreme Court. Ultimately, it may come back down to the immunity issue. And whether this was appropriate to even bring in the first place.
So let's say he won an appeal after the sentencing, then he would no longer be considered a convicted felon at that point. Is that right?
Essentially, yes. If the conviction is overturned, then there would be an order that basically rescinds that status. So he would be exonerated and he would not be a convicted felon.
So what are the other issues here? I mean, as a member of the Lawfare Project, Lawfare, the word Lawfare has been thrown around a lot during this entire trial, during several of them, that the argument that his political opponents are using the legal system to try to, to try to defeat him. They clearly lost that argument. But at the end of the day, this is the one that finally got through that could end up, if Judge Merchan wanted to, with a jail sentence.
Correct. And that is in a way what the risk is, because while the judge signaled his intent not to sentence Trump to prison, ultimately today he can do whatever he wants to impose a sentence. He will hear from the DA, from Alvin Bragg, on what the people of the state of New York want in terms of a sentence. Then he'll hear from Trump's lawyers on their view on a sentencing, and we know where they stand on this. And then the judge decides on a sentence. But we don't expect there to be any surprises. But at the end of the day, if Donald Trump had not been elected president, I think we could actually have been looking at incarceration, because that's the way this trial was going.
Wow. And among the allegations of bias and complaints here on the part of the judge, I mean, is that part of the appeal for Donald Trump, that this guy's daughter, this judge's daughter, is a major fundraiser for a lot of Democrats around the country?
It is part of the appeal. It's not the strongest part of the appeal. It's not dissimilar to arguing that Fannie Willis should have been disqualified, as she was, for her improprieties. But at the end of the day, the strongest argument for appeal is, first, that this should never have been brought as a case in the first place. But more to the point, the decisions the judge made during the trial were incorrect. That Trump was not allowed to present the witnesses and evidence that he wanted, and as a result of that, he was wrongfully convicted. That's the strongest part of the appeal. The judge's character, I think we all know what it is, but the strong part is the legal decisions he made.
Yeah. Let's talk for just a second about the Lawfare Project. I mean, a lot of what you do and focus on is protecting Jewish people, correct?
Jewish people, yes, because they're an underserved minority. We are seeing the civil rights issues across the country right now, but it's an issue that affects all Americans when we have voices of terrorism that deny all of us our civil rights, that are burning the American flag and wanting to bring jihad and Islamic terrorism to America's shores, and deny us of our constitutional freedoms. It's something ultimately that affects all of us.
Absolutely. And the fact that we've seen just on college campuses in America since the October 7th attack on Israel, almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago, is stunning, to say the least.
And you know what? We still have American citizens being held hostage in Gaza for now. They're there longer than Americans were held by Iran after the 1979 sacking of our embassy. Joe Biden still has not had them released, and they're still not home. That's still an issue we need to look at. We need our citizens protected.
Yep, and January 20th is coming, so hopefully that situation gets resolved at some point. Gerard Felitti, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Lawfareproject.org is the website. Good to get a little insight on what's going to happen, and it could be happening in a courtroom right now. I guess we don't even get to listen in on it, or maybe they will. It says the sentencing is underway, but
It's interesting he's attending virtually.
They've only been showing transcripts. They've not been showing.
But there was a feed originally. Remember those shots of him sitting in there and going in and out of that door that they're now showing on TV? But for some reason, today we're not actually hearing any, even any audio out of that courtroom. So I'm sure if we find out what happened before the end of the show here in 15 minutes, we'll be sure and tell you about it.
Get more at 971talk.com.